You're listening to Straight Heat on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, joining us on the hotline right now from CelticsBlog.com, he's Simon Pollock. What's up, Simon?
Hey, Patrick. How's it going, man?
All right, buddy. So do the other 29 coaches in the NBA disrespect Brad Stevens?
What a question. You know, I am totally flummoxed. I didn't necessarily expect him to win this award. Actually, the Coaches Association one wasn't even on my radar. But to not get a single vote seems suspect to me.
Flummoxed. That is an SAT word for all you youngsters out there. All right, Simon. So this is a series where, you know, a Celtics team that technically should have been outgunned took down a younger but more talented team as far as who goes on the court. Or are we underrepresenting the talent level the Celtics are putting on the floor right now?
I think that is a great question. And I found myself starting to wonder that once the series went to 3-0, I think we really had to start looking at how good are Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum really. The stats that they're putting up are starting to smell a lot more like star stats. Jason Tatum getting close to averaging 20 points in these playoffs and getting it done no matter what the moment is, first quarter or fourth quarter, able to get into the defense and play like he's a veteran. So I wonder if we're perhaps just underrating these guys, and I wonder how much they love it, too, if they want us all to just not believe in them.
Do you kind of, and, you know, is this something with Celtics fan or Celtics media where you kind of look and say, man, I really wish they could be going to the Eastern Conference Finals against LeBron with a healthy Kyrie, with a healthy Gordon Hayward, and we'd be better. They'd be better than the Cavaliers, and they'd win. But at the same time, those two guys not being here, the baby Celtics are growing up, and when those two guys come back next year, you should just dominate.
Doesn't it feel like that? I mean, I know on staff at Celtics Blog, we've been talking this whole year since the Hayward injury about how this feels like playing with house money, and that didn't stop during the playoffs, right? I mean, this team continues to surprise with their mental toughness, and they're just, they don't give up when the pressure's on. And so as far as they are able to take themselves, you kind of find yourself wondering as you cover this team, all right, well, if nobody else gets hurt, and that March was a rough month for that, you know, we'll just take this as far as we can go. And the team seems willing to impress us every step of the way.
All right, Simon Pollock, CelticsBlog.com, with us on the hotline. Now, the Celtics, you know, you've been talking about Tatum and Brown. You know, Marcus Smart has had his fingerprints all over a lot of these wins. Now, Brown has been on a minutes limit. Is he going to continue to be on a minutes limit?
I wonder, you know, do we get better quality minutes if he stays that way? It started to seem like maybe he was catching some of that explosiveness again in his game in this game 5 that just happened in Boston, but you know, who's to say, really? We haven't heard quite that much of an update from the Celtics camp yet, but the slower progression as he's returned to the floor seems to have worked out well for him, and now he gets a whole bunch of days off before he rests. We know that Jaylen Brown wants to play. He wants to be in the game as long as possible. So with this extra rest, we might see those minutes tick up, and that would be a boon to the Celtics, who need all the offense they can get against the Cavs.
Now, we know the Celtics, they don't play necessarily a high-octane offense. You know, they don't score top-end points the way, say, the Rockets or the Warriors do. But they keep grinding out victories. If they play this slower pace, grind it out type of game, is that something that you look at and you say, well, That might help LeBron, who's playing 40-some-odd minutes a night and has to be Superman. If he doesn't have to run up and down the floor like a maniac all night long, is that hurt the does that hurt the Celtics?
Patrick, you're hitting on something that I've been thinking about as this matchup has been looming here. And I'm starting to put a little bit of stock in how hard the Celtics can work the Cavs on offense. Can they make the rest of the Cavaliers team just dog-tired the way that the Celtics defenders took all the shooters, Ilyasova and Redick and Bellinelli, out of the play against the Sixers? Can they do that to the rest of the Cavaliers cast and just exhaust them and make it easier for the Celtics to score on offense? So it's kind of a flip-flop from what you were suggesting. But even then, all the weight will still be on LeBron. I don't know if the strategy is to make him get tired so much as I think the strategy is make everybody else on the Cavs tired. And the Celtics definitely have the length at all the positions, with Terry Rozier playing incredible defense at the one, and all the way through Tatum and Brown, with Morris coming off the bench adding extra length, and of course Horford, who's been playing incredible defense all season.
Simon Pollock, CelticsBlog.com, with us on the hotline. Simon, what do you expect to be the approach that the Celtics take to how they defend LeBron?
I am curious to see how much they can throw Al Horford out there to hang on to LeBron. I think it's going to be a rotating cast of characters. I'll tell you, I wrote during the Bucks series in the first round about rookie Semi Ojeleye out of SMU, who did an incredible job on Giannis, given how good he is, Giannis Antetokounmpo, the superstar for the Bucks. I wonder if we're going to see more Ojeleye, who didn't really crack the 12-minute mark in the last four games against the Sixers. Will his minutes tick up now? Is he going to come in and really own some of those second and third quarter minutes against LeBron and try and slow him down? Ojeleye's got the quickness laterally and vertically to stay with LeBron. Can he stop him? No, nobody can. But I think we might see a little bit more of Ojeleye in the lineup and perhaps a lot less of Aaron Baines.
Now, there's a lot of news about Shane Larkin, who, you know, missed a lot of time in the last series. He's got a sprained left shoulder. All the reports say it doesn't look like he's going to be able to go for the Eastern Conference Finals. A, do you expect him to be ready at any point? And B, the way Terry Rozier has played, was he ever going to see the floor anyway?
That's a great question. I mean, Shane Larkin, definitely a great depth option for the Celtics. And certainly the speed that he can apply to his bench minutes is really important for the Celtics unit when they need to run. He's had some great two-man game play with Greg Monroe when those two come off the bench together. But the Celtics started to prove to us that Rozier could step up to the plate on the road and at home and take on even more of those minutes. And now you have Marcus Smart back in the lineup starting to get a feel for things after having a couple of warm-up games in the series against the Bucks, and they might be able to handle that load together, especially when you slide Jaylen Brown to the two. Would Shane Larkin help? Yes, but he has to keep his turnovers under control, and he had a lot of trouble doing that against the Sixers. Whereas Rozier, as we now know, as the stats start to come out for these playoffs, the dude barely turns the ball over in crunch time.
All right, so who's the guy under the radar that the Celtics need to have a big series to beat the Cavaliers?
Well, we just saw Aaron Baines do that against the Sixers. And again, I wonder if it truly is Semi Ojeleye. You know, Ojeleye doesn't really do more than take corner threes on the offensive end. But if he's playing more, can he start to slip a few screens and get some buckets at the rim and maybe take his points average up from 2 to 4, maybe take it up to about 10 or something like that? That could be huge for the Celtics off the bench. And then also, I'll give you two. I think that Greg Monroe might see the floor a little bit more. I was just talking about this with one of the editors over at Celtics Blog. You know, Monroe has this incredible passing ability and might be able to have a huge impact for the Celtics bench.
All right, Simon, I got to ask you a question. I don't want you to think less of me because of this.
would never.
What is disc golf?
What is disc golf? also known as frisbee golf, for anybody else out there. That's a that is a professional form of frisbee sports out in the woods with what they call a pin that sort of looks like, think about a shorter version of a flag in regular golf, and it's got a basket on it with chains, and you throw different types of frisbees at it. the discs hit those chains, and they fall in, and the rest of the rules are just like golf. You can actually make a pretty good buck as a professional disc golf player these days.
No way.
Yeah.
I've never even heard of such a thing.
I think they're up in the $60,000 or $70,000 range for some of the pros. There aren't that many of them, but the following is really taking on. It's a lot of fun. You get to go out and hike sort of around in the woods for a lot of these courses, and the community is pretty strong.
So I just lost my producer, who's now going to go play
disc
golf.
I'm out of here. Peace.
There's some great courses in Texas.
Well, you'll have to fill us in on those. Simon Pollock, CelticsBlog.com. Follow him on Twitter at ScooberFTW.
That's right.
Simon Pollock, ScooberFTW, CelticsBlog.com. Simon, appreciate your time tonight, buddy. Make sure
Thanks
you explain to Jose where we can find disc golf courses here in Texas.
You got it. It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Patrick.
All right, buddy. Take care. Simon Pollock of CelticsBlog.com.